This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This weekly series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're very happy to have back on the program today Representative Robert T. Ashmore, Democrat from the state of South Carolina. Mr. Ashmore is a member of the House Judiciary Committee and is appearing on our program in response to an invitation sent all members of that committee to discuss the proposed Civil Rights Act. Mr. Ashmore, when we concluded our discussion last week, we were talking about the various groups and types of citizens who would be affected if this civil rights proposal were to be adopted. Let's review that briefly to begin with and get into some of the fields that we didn't have time to mention last week. Just exactly who would this civil rights bill affect?
Well, that is a question that I don't have time to answer in detail. It affects everybody, as a matter of fact. I can't think of any person who would not be affected, either directly or indirectly. Now, all of these things are not written out in plain everyday language in the bill. It's by implication, and it is by the wide authority that is granted in the bill, and when it is considered along with the numerous executive orders of the president, numerous other pieces of legislation that are now on the books, the original Civil Rights Act of 1957 and the amendment to that in 1960, combined with the things that this bill does, will put a blanket over the entire United States. There's never been a bill that granted so much authority to the chief executive of the United States of America as this bill would grant in the rights and in the control of the rights and liberties of the people of this country. And no one man heretofore has ever been given the authority to control the rights and the liberties and the privileges of the people of this country, as is given in this bill to the Attorney General of the United States. Not just the present Attorney General, but whoever might be the Attorney General. He has almost unlimited authority, in some cases just unbelievable authority, to bring suit against not only individuals, against school trustees, against boards of education, against individuals, even against the state in some instances. You must analyze and read and study from a legal standpoint the entire legislation before you can get the implications and really understand what it does. I have mentioned heretofore some of the things,
yes.
Some of the people that it did affect. I gave some details about how it would affect the farmers and their federal aid programs, how they could be deprived of those rights if they were found guilty, not after a trial in court, but just found guilty by a federal inspector who comes and says, now you discriminated against this man because of his race. Therefore, we're going to cut off all of your aid of any type. It affects the farmers in that way. I have illustrated in a farmer program what it would do to the bankers and the people who loan federal money, how they would be hampered in the use of these funds and how they could be told and controlled, told what to do and controlled in the operation of their business.
And even people who deposit money in a bank which has federal deposit insurance.
That is correct. Not only would the person who discriminated against someone, according to the inspector or the federal investigator's opinion, but the bank could be foreclosed or stopped from doing business with this man. And if he didn't do it, they would say, well, you have no more authority to use federal funds. You can't make a federal loan under FHA or Fannie Mae or whatever it might be, and even your insurance could be taken from you. The homeowner is deprived of his right to freely use his property, as every American citizen has under the property rights that we've all heretofore had in this land of ours. A federal inspector would tell you whether or not you could refuse to rent property to a certain person. And you would have to go in and prove that you are not refusing to rent this property to him because of his race or his color or his creed. This is contrary to all concepts of procedure as to whether or not and how a man or a person has violated a federal or state law.
Now, Congressman Ashmore, recently in this series of racial demonstrations that we've had around the country, we have heard the call from the leaders of various minority groups and organizations. They are demanding what they refer to as compensatory preferential treatment. That is, in the past, the cry has been for so-called equality, that no person be denied a job because he is a Negro or a member of some other minority group. But now the call is for positive discrimination in favor of someone because he is a member of a minority group.
Yes, I agree that they have gone that far, and that is inconceivable.
Now, if this bill were to be adopted, this civil rights bill, then a federal inspector, if this were determined to be the federal policy, could actually force someone to hire an unbalanced proportion of a minority group.
That gets right at the heart of one of the most dangerous and, I suppose, one of the most unknown provisions or sections or titles of this bill. It affects not only the man who is performing a labor for wages, the laborer, the wage earner, but it also affects and controls the man who is hiring that person. Mr. Ruther and Mr. Meany and some of the big men in the labor movement in this country have said that they are for this bill. They're demanding its passage, and I dare say that they don't have the slightest idea what it does to their own union movement in this country. For instance, the bill contains language that all jobs, not just federal jobs, but a person contracting a private contractor, that job must be racially balanced. We find that language in numbers of instances in the bill. That means that there must be a certain number of people of all races on it. And if a Negro should come up to a carpenter's hall and say, you have 20 jobs open here, but I don't see any Negroes listed there. The personnel man at that labor hall would no doubt say, under the union system, that we follow the seniority system here. The people who have seniority come first when it comes to filling these jobs. That is one of the greatest weapons of the labor movement, of the labor union, the seniority system. This bill would practically destroy the seniority system. This federal inspector, if they needed 20 carpenters at this particular union hall, could say, well, you don't have the niggers here. Go out and get some. If you have to go out in the street and pick them up, it doesn't make any difference. We are going to see that this job is racially balanced. Mr. Meany and Mr. Ruther no doubt has no conception of what this would do to them, and I doubt if dare say they don't even know that that is a part of the bill, and they will learn that it is a part of this bill when it is passed and enacted, if it is enacted in its present form.
And of course, it would also affect the employer, the small businessman who's trying to hire two or three people to work with him.
Absolutely. And really what it does, it means that the federal government would be coming in and interfering with the labor union or the wage earner's contractual rights and the contractor's rights as well. It would be destroying both of them. The federal government interfering in the rights of both. And that is something that we have never had to contend with in this country, and I think that we should not have to contend with it, because it, not only does it violate the rights of these people, but it goes a long ways toward destroying the merit system of employment in this country, which has been so successful, not only on civil service jobs, but under individual employers and employees. That system would no longer control. It would be largely a matter of race, first of all. That would be the criterion, not based on merit, not based on competence or experience or character or the ability to perform a good job for the money received.
Now, in addition to these things that we've already mentioned, any business firm that pays a license tax to a state or a city, and that's almost every business these days,
yes,
anyone who is offering goods or services to the public, whether in a business as a businessman or as a professional man, everyone who has a child in school or who is a voter or who receives or expects to receive Social Security, veterans benefits, old age pensions, retirement benefits, anyone employed under civil service as a federal employee, all of these groups would be affected too. And yet, many Americans are I'm afraid laboring under the delusion that this Civil Rights Act, after all, would apply only to a relatively small section of the country. It's aimed at the South. Why can't they wake up and realize how it would affect them?
I believe if the leaders in the communities throughout this country knew these facts and were aware of them, they would let their friends and neighbors and the office holders in these areas beyond the South, in areas other than the South, could acquaint the people, their constituents, with what the bill really does everywhere, not just in the South, but to all people. There would be tremendous demonstration and howl from the people of this country not to pass any such legislation, but to do away with these things that take more rights away from people than they give to this minority group. For instance, school teachers, public and private, they don't know what this bill does. The school trustees have no idea what it does in many instances. They don't realize that the Attorney General can bring suit against them and force them to use federal funds as the federal government says they must be used, or they will no longer get those funds.
And this could extend down to using a particular textbook and teaching a certain course in a certain minute.
That was the next, you took the words out of my mouth. That's what it means. It means that, for instance, if your child eats a lunch at the school that is provided by a federal program, federal funds, the federal government can also tell that school what books they will teach, what faculty will be used, and even where the student will go to school. Now, some people today may say, oh, well, that won't be done. I don't see how they can arrive at any such conclusions as that, because the people that are demanding this type of legislation are already demanding those things in some areas. They're having troubles in New York and Chicago and Detroit and Philadelphia and numerous places about assignment of pupils. The federal government will be assigning them, or else you don't get federal funds. It's just as simple as the nose on my face.
Congressman Ashmore, our time has gone by all too quickly. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, sir.
Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been Congressman Robert T. Ashmore, Democrat from South Carolina. If you'd like information concerning the Civil Rights Bill, just write to the address given at the end of this program and request information on the Civil Rights Bill. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, assisted by a grant from the Mississippi State Sovereignty Commission, an official agency of the state of Mississippi. Join us next week for another informative discussion, and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedom.